We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
On the Texas A&M Sports Network, this is Studio 12.
How about last night at Reed Arena? Texas A&M men's basketball gets it done again. Howdy, I'm Will Johnson. I'm in the south end zone of Kyle Field. But the talk of the town as we begin with Around Aggieland presented by ANCO. That's Texas A&M men's basketball, and they won another one last night at home, 83-78 over the Auburn Tigers. That's a clean sweep of a quality team in Auburn. That is definitely another resume builder for your Aggies. A&M now 9-2 in the SEC, in second place in the league. Right now alone in second place. Tennessee plays tonight. They could get even with the Aggies if the Volunteers win. But A&M 9-2 in the SEC, in second place after the win last night over the Tigers. Wade Taylor had 22. Julius Marble had 20 points, 7 rebounds. And we're going to begin the show with Buzz Williams on the St. Joseph Health postgame show last night from Reed after the win. Our head coach sat down with Andrew Monaco and Dr. John Thornton.
Your thoughts after this one about the win and about your team?
I just respect them so much. I admire them. I appreciate them. Grateful they're here. I think it's a rarity. I don't think it happens very often in this day and age that you get a group that has the character that they have, that has the care amongst the organization that we have, that has the feel for who we are, how we need to be our best, and when we're not, how to help one another. There's a lot of love. And I understand that it's a result-oriented business. I understand the exposure of it. I understand I'm overpaid. I understand all of that. But I want to make sure that as all of this transpires, that I make sure that I'm learning the lessons that I'm supposed to be learning. And what's going on is rare. And who those young men are and how they were raised to get them all together was very uncommon. And, you know, pick a game, pick a player, pick a person. What Andy did, what Solo did, it just speaks to they want to do their best and they want to try their hardest. And it speaks to the staff that guys that may or may not play a lot of minutes, may be forced into playing a lot of minutes and still have to have the same accountability of the ones that typically play the most minutes.
Hey, when it works, Buzz, it's beautiful. When it works, it's beautiful. And the thing I would say that goes along with the adjectives are resilience and toughness.
They're so tough.
They do not panic. They look inward. They look to you guys and overcome. This was a fight. That's an understatement to say this was a fight.
That is
physical. They don't flinch.
No, they don't.
They don't flinch. They don't back up. They run to it.
Well, you've always said that about being in the center of the ring. I mean,
that's all they're saying. They're saying it. The kids are saying it. We got to fight in the middle of the ring. Okay. Well,
What do I have to say?
Right? I don't have to say anything.
The other thing too, Buzz, in games like this, because you know we didn't make free throws early. You know, we gave him too many offensive rebounds early.
Yes.
But they righted the ship, and then we had a little sputter at the start of the second half. Then we righted the ship, but then it didn't come easy. And then you had so many plays, and we talk about it all the time about that don't show on the stat sheet. They're just reaction plays, the slap outs, the loose ball dives. You know,
on our tip out. I told our kids that on Sunday. You know, you guys know when, like, without being too coachy, you know when Four's bringing it up the floor and he knows somebody's behind him and he kind of acts like he's tripping on the lines and he gets fouled?
Right, right.
We keep score of that versus we can't get a two-hand rebound tip out.
Yeah, okay.
We keep score on it. And on Saturday – who did we play on Saturday?
Georgia.
Yeah, on Saturday we had two tip outs. And so on Sunday when it was my turn to talk in the film room, I go, guys, tip outs are up one now over four. Well, it's Andy, it's Hen, it's Jew, it's Solo. And they're like, Coach, no, he's not. And I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you, we're up one. And, you know, Four is my boy. And he's like, Coach, that ain't right. I'm like, no, man, y'all know I've been keeping score. And then so it is something that doesn't show up in the box score. And so I told TJ, who's the smartest employee without question, TJ, I want to know our points per possession on tip outs. It's 1.55.
Wow.
Because and I showed the kids the tip outs when I was doing rebounding effort. Because when you tip it out, it's an unclean rebound.
It's a broken floor a little bit.
Yeah, it's broken floor. And I go, guys, right now on that tip out, we're in transition. It's broken floor. And our points per possession is 1.55. I don't know how many tip outs we had tonight, but it was two, maybe three.
But one of the things also, Buzz, is these games going, we've seen these battles before. It got down, it got condensed to basics. It was isolation. It's one-on-one. Dexter guarding Green. I know everybody guards everybody because we switch a lot. But, I mean, that was a challenge. And then Tyrese picks him up.
I know. And Boots got to stop,
that's
right?
It was a turnover, right?
It was a turnover.
He stole it.
But, you know, I know that's what y'all do as far as – because everybody's got to guard everybody because of the way you play. But I love that change at that point because he wasn't ready for that. And I know Tyrese is sneaky like that.
Yeah, his Baja is what we call it. He has elite Baja. You know, like he doesn't – if he went to the NFL combine, like he would just be average. But, like he – Gep and I talk about this all the time – he makes plays that you can't practice. So you guys remember at South Carolina, he got that offensive rebound with his left hand, and the kid was blocking him out. And when he got the rebound, he just kind of balanced on the kid's back and didn't fall down and landed on 2 feet. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Right
there in front of our bench.
In front of ours.
So
you can't practice.
You know, we changed our pregame routine. I think 7 games ago. And so Boots, Dex, and Four are in a 3-man group, and we kind of do it like stations. So when Gep was with those three, when I train, Rock's always in there with me. And so Rock always hears me talking to Gep about Boots' Baja. So they're stretching and they're doing like a kind of karaoke from side to side. And there's a stray ball coming from Auburn's way.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Boots is facing our basket and the ball's coming from behind him. And Gep hollers, "Boots, ball." He's about to trip, break his ankle on the ball. He stutter steps and kicks the ball behind him with the back of his foot to Gep.
Not only did he quick not break his ankle,
he didn't even miss a stride. He just kept going.
Gotta love Boots, don't you? Buzz Williams does, that team does. We all do. Boots Radford, 10 points, 4 rebounds last night in the win. You just heard from Buzz Williams there on the St. Joseph Health postgame show with Andrew and John. So the 9-2 SEC record, the Aggies will take it into the weekend. They're off to Baton Rouge. That's where Boots Radford is from. He's heading back to his hometown. You know, last time Aggie basketball was in Baton Rouge, they got some good home cooking from Boots' family. Maybe they'll get that again. But Saturday, 7:30, tip-off Saturday night in Baton Rouge at the PMAC, the Pete Maravich Assembly Center, A&M and LSU. So the Aggies 9-2 after the 5-point win over Auburn at home last night. Another fantastic crowd at Reed, by the way, and another tip of the cap to the 12th man in the Reed Rowdies. But A&M, they began February on the bubble as far as making the NCAA tournament. They began February in the hunt in the SEC race. Alabama is still in first place, and the Crimson Tide still undefeated. But the Aggies now 9-2 in the SEC, still in second place, and possibly moving themselves on the right side of the bubble. LSU is next on the road. ANCO is a proud partner of Texas A&M Athletics, and they provide independent, value-driven, and client-focused solutions to all your insurance needs. Visit ANCO.com. They are taking you around Aggieland. You heard about hoops and the win over Auburn last night. Quickly, let's tell you about women's tennis. They start the ITA Indoor Championships on Friday in Seattle. We know the bracket now. A&M is the 3 seed, and they will play at 2 o'clock against San Diego. That's Friday in Seattle, women's tennis in the ITA Indoor Championships. Remember, that was a 33-2 program last year. SEC champs, as well as SEC tournament champs, undefeated in all of that. Didn't lose any SEC matches, 33-2 overall, and women's tennis is undefeated to start the 2023 campaign. And 2 o'clock on Friday, they take on San Diego in Seattle in the ITA Championships. Track and field is on the road Friday and Saturday. They're in Clemson, and they are at the Tiger Paw Invitational. Both the men's and women's track and field teams heading out to ACC country, Clemson, South Carolina, for the Tiger Paw Invitational. Also, if you didn't see it yesterday, the baseball TV schedule has been released. You know the national television schedule now. It's right there on 12thman.com, the official website of Texas A&M Athletics, if you want to check it out. It's pretty much the national television schedule on the SEC Network and ESPNU and ESPN2. That pretty much begins with conference play. But also SEC Network Plus will provide plenty of games produced by us here at 12th Man Productions. Myself and Boomer White will be out there on the SEC Network Plus. Plenty of those non-conference games on that platform leading up to league play throughout February and March. So the baseball TV schedule has been released. Log on to 12thman.com if you'd like to see it. That's Around Aggieland, presented by ANCO. We continue on Studio 12 with Nick McKenna, assistant AD for our sports fields here in the athletics department. Matt Simon with Will Johnson as well. But Nick's the feature. We're not really that important right now. But
I got to think for Nick, January, early February is probably his favorite time of year because it's too cold to really get the grass cranked up a little bit. But that's when all the outdoor sports just crank it into overdrive.
Yeah, it's a unique challenge because, yeah, nothing's growing great. It always likes to rain as we're encountering.
Yep.
And then, everybody decides to start practicing and – so, yeah, it comes with its challenges.
So, speaking of challenges, just what's coming up this week, because you'll have softball starting, and the way they're going to start is 6 home games in 4 days. Now, that's just the Aggies.
Correct.
But the Texas A&M Invitational out at Davis Diamond, I didn't do the math, Matt. Maybe you know.
Can't
is
count
it 13
that
total games?
13 games in 4 days.
4 days. So. It just – that, I think, is incredible for your staff. Can you almost take me what a week like this encompasses out at Davis Diamond because of, like we just said, it's essentially equates to 3 games per day. And then on Saturday, I think we have 5.
Yes.
Friday's 4. I
mean, Friday's 5.
That kind
Saturday's
of week
4.
For you and your crew.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, it's sad to say it's really not that out of the ordinary for us. I mean, we're just extending the days a little bit. You know what a lot of people I don't think realize about our role and our job is that, like, our preparations begin months in advance. It's not like, oh, it's game week, all of a sudden we turn it on. Mm-hmm. We've had to do our stuff back in September, October, November. If we didn't take care of business back then, we're going to be in trouble in February. And so, you know, from a field perspective, the majority of the work's done. We're actually thankful when we get to game week finally, because at this point we're tired of watching ourselves practice and play ourselves. It's like, let's bring in somebody else who's, you know, maybe their positional players are actually going to play in a different spot rather than stand in the exact same spot and wear a hole in the grass that our girls do out of just habit. So, you know, but as far as the week goes, you know, 13 games in 4 days is it pushes it. It's taxing on a field. Now, the one great thing we have going this year is, you know, in years past, we've run 2, 3, 4 tournaments almost in successive weeks. So we're really lucky this year with the schedule. This is the only one we have. So we're going to play these 13 games, and then we don't play at home again until March 1st, a single game versus Houston, and then we're not back home until we start SEC play again. So we get some recovery time. Obviously, the biggest challenge for us is the uncontrollables. You look out the window, and when your job depends on Mother Nature being cooperative and coaches and teams being cooperative, that's where the challenge gets tricky, is just because you cannot control Mother Nature, so you literally have to kind of plan and react around it, and we really have limited control on what the teams do. Obviously, you know, they have their job, and you know, our job is to support them in whatever capacity we can. So that's where it gets challenging. And, you know, my staff is phenomenal at what they do. I've been able to recruit and bring in some really good people, and just kind of try and stay out of their way and let them do what they need to. I get involved if and when I need to. But, you know, for the most part, we just adapt and evolve and find ways to be successful.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's got the assistant AD title, but I think he needs to have AMS at the back end of it there. You're also a weatherman. A lot of people assume you're one of the weathermen on staff.
That is probably the scariest part, is every one of these meetings I go into, they're like, all right, what's the weather report? Who's in charge of weather? And everybody turns and looks at me, and I'm like, I don't actually have a meteorology degree here, folks. I'm just doing the best I can. I use a lot of the same apps you guys do. I keep joking. I'm like, I probably should petition the administration that they need to start sending me to meteorology school to get some accreditation, or go job shadow with Shell Winkley over at KBTX or something. He probably hates me, because the number of times when we actually get to this point of the year where we're fighting weather, and the times of day where I'll text him or call him, you know, and he's trying to feed his kids, or, you know, he might actually have a day off and I'm bothering him about the weather, I feel bad. I probably owe him a couple cases of adult beverages, to be honest. So.
Visiting with Nick McKenna here from our assistant AD for sports fields. Iowa is home for you, but you've been down here quite a bit. Give us kind of the nickel tour, so to speak, of kind of your journey to get down here to Aggieland.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, it's been a long and winding road. As you mentioned, I born and raised in Iowa, grew up on a farm, kind of agricultural background. Didn't actually find my way into the turf grass side, like turf grass industry, until halfway through my college path at Iowa State. And I grew up playing just about every sport and obviously working outdoors. And so kind of found a major eventually when I found my way into the turf grass industry and was able to focus on sports fields, something that kind of married the things that I'd always known and been passionate about with agriculture and raising crops and livestock and finding a way to incorporate sports. You know, obviously I played everything, but I was never going to be good enough to continue on at the next higher level beyond high school. So, you know, the neat thing about this career path is that there's a way for me to stay connected to the game still. Yeah. Like I always joke with people, the only people, truly people, not to diminish fan impacts, because obviously fans and crowds can have an impact on a game, but the only other people I tell our crew that can have a direct impact on a game, on the outcome of a game, besides the coaches and players, ultimately, or like if a baseball takes a bad hop, you know, in the ninth inning of a game and changes the outcome of a game, that's a direct impact of something we did or did not do. So, so to still be able to have that kind of connection to the game and involvement, that was kind of what appealed to me about the career. But, I was very fortunate when I got out of college. There was a job opportunity down here at A&M, to be honest, just by luck of the draw. And my boss at Iowa State, who I worked for their athletic department, made a phone call to then Leo and Craig. He was good friends with them, put in a good word for me. Leo's like, we got a job right now. It's his if he wants it. Like, I basically didn't even have to interview. So that was pretty cool. But came down here in the early 2000s, spent just under 3 years working here while my wife did her master's degree here at A&M. So she actually has the Aggie ring. She is a true blue Aggie officially. I'm still lacking that decoration on my hand anywhere. But spent about 3 years when she finished. Then we kind of, for our career path journey, picked up and moved. We moved back to Iowa for a couple of years to try and get back to family. Realized we really didn't see them any more than when we lived in Texas, sadly. Not a whole lot more, at least. And I was itching. I was out of the sports field industry, wanted to get back into it. So then we picked up and moved cross country, had an opportunity to go to Virginia Tech. And I spent 4 years working for Virginia Tech for their athletic department. All that while maintaining a relationship with Craig and Leo. When I left here in 2005, I said, you know, right now there's just, you know, I've got to build my career path. Now, if the timing's right, the opportunity's right, we love Texas A&M. We're passionate about Texas A&M. We would love the opportunity to come back here if and when the time is right. And was very blessed and fortunate that in 2011 they reached back out to me when we were getting ready to renovate Olson Field, now Bluebell Park. Still Olson Field at Bluebell Park. Yeah. And basically kind of said, you know, well, Leo's getting near the end of his career, thinking about starting to retire. We want to bring you back. Initially, we'll put you at baseball with the intent that when Leo retires, we'll promote Craig, who'd been with Leo's longtime assistant for 20-some years, and then set you along the path, Nick, that eventually we want you to be oversee all this. You know, and that's pretty special coming from those two guys, two legends in the industry, and I think legends in Aggie athletics, to have that vote of confidence and faith that someday we want you to have the run and take this. So yeah, we moved back in 2011. You know, unfortunately Leo passed away in 2015 rather than retiring. And so that kind of started that transition of, I moved into Craig's former assistant role. Mm-hmm. And Craig took the head position, and then, was fortunate, you know, Craig retired at the end of the summer. I was promoted into my current role. So, but they always say, you never want to be the guy that follows the legend. I don't know what that means for me, because I'm following two legends. So yeah. I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Yeah. But with the Iowa connection, there's no way we can't ask about your experience with Major League Baseball's Field of Dreams game. You got to do it again this past summer. They've hosted two of those. You've been on the crew of both of them this past summer. It was Cubs Reds, but I love that game. I mean, I watch it start to finish. I've watched both of them, and I don't watch a ton of regular season Major League Baseball just because we're so involved with college baseball for much of the time. But I sit down and I watched start to finish both of those games, Yankees, White Sox the first time they did it, Cubs, Reds this time. But to be there and experience in your home state, that's got to be special.
Oh, it was an amazing experience, and like I'm embarrassed to say – Like, I grew up 75 miles from the Field of Dreams site. The first time I ever went there was actually that first year I went to work the Major League game. Kind of sad and embarrassing to say, but I couldn't have picked a better first time to visit and experience. And that was, once again, one of those things I was just fortunate. I had some connections through, you know, I serve on the National Board of Directors for our National Association, which is a sports field management association. I serve on their board of directors, and through some work I was doing with them, I made a connection with the guy who actually oversees the grounds crew for all those special one-off Major League events, whether it's the Field of Dreams game, the Williamsport game, the London series, the, you know, wherever else they go. So I made a connection with him working through that on something else, and just in casual conversation we were talking, and I made some joke passing comment about, well, you've probably been spending a lot of time in my old neck of the woods. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, up in Iowa. I said, I was born and raised there. And he just goes, well, then you should, he goes, you should come work the game with us. And I was, I go, but like, are you messing with me? Or are you serious? And I was like, cause if that's a real possibility and you can get me the clearance, he's like, sign me up. He goes, well, I'm the guy who tells MLB, here's the list of people that are working the event. So if you want in,
there's your clearance right there.
Yeah. So it was like, well, that's a no-brainer. But yeah, to go up there and just experience that. And, you know, I'm kind of like you. Like, I'm a college sports junkie first and foremost. I don't watch a lot of regular season Major League Baseball. I watch a little bit here and there. But even, yeah, just beyond you, the number of people, my family members, people beyond that, that said they tuned into that game and they wouldn't normally watch baseball because of, I think, the nostalgia and, you know, the connection to the movie, just makes that extra connection piece to people and spoke to them. But yeah, that first year's game was indescribable, just the way the game went, how it ended. You know, I tell the joke, I'm like, it's almost like this was written for a movie. You know, so it was going to be hard to top that first game. Obviously, any opportunity I get to go back and do that again, I will jump at that chance. You know, I think they're not doing the game this next year.
I think they're adding some.
Yeah, so there's a group in there. They're going to go in and build a sports complex and a hotel. And what a lot of people don't realize is, like, the stadium around the Major League field, when they host that game, it's a temporary stadium. So they literally come in and build it every single year, both of those first 2 years. So the plan is to build, like, a permanent stadium with some clubhouse amenities and stuff. So I think they want to get in there and build that infrastructure then, and then go back and reevaluate whether they'll continue that game. But that's one where I think it's so neat. I really hope that it's one that Major League Baseball chooses to continue.
You know, if you look at the fields here now at Texas A&M, I've always, you know, Aggies love being the best at anything they can be, and they love hearing how every, you know, obviously anybody would, but especially here, they love hearing how good. And we can say this, and it's not us blowing smoke. We do travel. We do see other venues, and I would put our fields up against any field in the entire country. When you and not from us two idiots, but when you have a when your fellow compatriots in the business and those, when you hear when fields win awards, when you hear about when you guys are well thought of and the job you do, you know, what does that mean to you guys to know that the work you put in gets noticed? These games are on national television. People, I'm sure you don't watch a game just to watch a game. I'm sure you're looking at the grass everywhere, whatever game it may be. But what does that mean when you hear all the accolades that A&M's able to collect?
Well, I mean, it's a huge point of pride for us because we look at it as, yeah, we're not just representing our crew, our student athletes, our teams. It's like we're trying to represent every single former student of Texas A&M University or supporter of the university. So we're trying to put a product out that they can be proud of. So, yeah, when we get those accolades or those compliments, it means a lot. Like you said, yeah, I don't watch sports. I probably watch a field as much as I watch a game. You know, I think my profession is kind of ruined. Like, at a football player, I'm always staring at their feet and their knees and how they make cuts and how the turf holds up versus, you know, the actual play itself a lot of times. Now, I'll get kind of that in the background. And same thing with, you know, a baseball game or a softball. How's the ball rolling? And does the ball take a bad hop? Or, you know, those are always the things that we're paying attention to. And we always say, you know, usually our crew goes unnoticed unless something goes wrong. That's the discouraging part, is that the only time, a lot of times, we get the recognition is when a ball does take a bad hop or a player slips and falls or gets injured. That's when you know you really get put in the limelight. So we try to take the bad with the good, knowing that, okay, that stuff's going to happen. We try to do everything we can to prevent it, eliminate it. So we got to take the good with it too and try and that's kind of been more of a new recent focus of mine, I guess, is promoting our crew and what they do. And I want them recognized for the time they put in and the work. And because once again, like I said, you know, it's not a field is a living, breathing thing. So we're literally sometimes at the mercy of, is it going to be freezing cold? Is it going to rain? Is it, you know, we can make every single plan we want. And Mother Nature can be like, ha ha, good luck with this. How are you going to over? So yeah, I try and highlight and praise and recognize all the wins that we get, knowing that, you know, you're going to take some losses too. But yeah, it means a lot when we get, you know, the compliments, whether it's from y'all or visiting fans, visiting teams, our own, you know, like I said, it's a point of personal pride that as Aggies, we want to be the best in everything we do. And so, you know, that carries not only into our teams and their performances, but we take that personal and into our role on the fields as well, as we're trying to put out a major league or a professional level quality product every single day.
Will, you mentioned softball having this tournament this weekend, and no disrespect to the next couple of weeks, but the Aggies are going to go from this field, Davis Diamond, to a city complex in Tampa next week in a big time tournament. And then the week after that, they're going to go to, it's sort of a rec complex, but it's built for fast pitch and slow pitch softball. But the field quality, all due respect to the folks that maintain those, just from a time perspective, is going to drop quite a bit. So the team is going to be a bit spoiled this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, and that's honestly, like, that's one of my favorite things is, like, when we'll get a former baseball players. You know, I was at baseball for a long time, and the guys, that they'll get drafted and they'll go play in the minor leagues, and, you know, the rare weekends when they come back and they'll come up and give you a big hug and be like, man, I miss this field. Like, because they're out there living, you know, the grinded out life. And, you know, we do have some phenomenal facilities, and fortunately our administration's been committed to allow us to build our fields right. So we invest on the front side to make sure that we can reap the benefits of that down the road. And so, yeah, that's always a good feeling when the guys come back and be like, you know, I miss the roll of the ball in this grass or the dirt or whatever it is that they have. But that's always a good feeling when they come back and say, yeah, I miss playing here.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick before you go, you're going to get our AD Ross Bjork back on a mower. Is he ready to pitch in again?
Yeah.
Maybe on Kyle Field before the fall.
So, he's pretty much got a standing open invitation with me. he hasn't quite got brave enough to come out and do it on a game week. So that's my next. I keep challenging every single year.
Get
like
the
first year, it was early on when there was no pressure. Last year, it was kind of leading into the fall. So now I keep pushing on him. I'm like, hey, we got to get you out here on a game day. Or my next challenge that I'm trying to get him on is I want to get him out there on the painter.
That's what Ross stripe that field for game day.
I think he would do it.
The home opener, New Mexico next year.
That's what I said. I said, we got to get you out here on a paint gun so you can actually feel the pain of bending over and painting an end zone logo for three consecutive hours.
I mean, you're back. Extreme focus, too.
I keep poking the bear a little bit and prodding him along, seeing if I can get him to bite. Eventually, I'll get him. Ross loves a good challenge. So
there you go.
And I love, like, once again, that's one of those things I love to bring him into our world, because he sees it and he knows it, but for him to really firsthand experience, I think that helps us just from in that side of the thing. When the guy at the very top understands what you're doing on a daily basis and what the challenges and struggles you're going through. You know, that's never going to hurt our crew. So I encourage him. He's got an open invitation to come do whatever he wants any day. It's a matter of getting him to be brave enough to come do it. So
notice he didn't say you or I are allowed to touch the paint gun, which is probably smart.
Hey,
that's why this man is.
If you remember back in the day, early 2000s, we used to run a segment of Where There's a Will.
Yeah.
Will actually came out.
Painted one line.
We put him on the sled. On the border of Kyle Field.
I remember my comment, I've never concentrated on anything this hard in my life, ever, or since.
At least you had buy-in, complete buy-in.
But I noticed you had some crew members behind me that were kind of washing off some of the crookedness of the line. You had to straighten it out a little bit.
we strive for perfection.
That's right. Keep up the good work. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Nick McKenna right here. On Studio 12, our assistant AD for Sports Fields, right here in the south end zone of Kyle Field.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.